Maxwell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining us today. We got my man Nathan Forlina here as well. What's up today, buddy?
Nothing much. Living the dream. So it's a good day. A little bit slow, but it's all right. We're in now. We're in thick of it. So
we have a good discussion. I wanted to get to this yesterday, and then Jerry stole the show yesterday with a great topic about James Franklin and Penn State.
We need those, though.
I love that. I love when that happens. But we're going to get into today what college is for. What is college for in this country? We're going to discuss that here in just a minute, because I think it's a really fascinating subject. I don't know if you saw, but the Knicks, Nathan, fired Tom Thibodeau today.
Yeah, big news.
After their best playoff run in 25 years. I started by saying the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm not sure I've really ever met any New York Knicks fans here, which is interesting because
I feel like the Knicks, I mean, I guess Philly's the closest market.
Yeah, but I don't think we have a lot of Sixers fans here either. I just don't know. I don't know if this is the biggest NBA fan. I think a lot of people here probably grew up with the Celtics, the Lakers, maybe some with the 76ers, but I'm not sure I've really ever encountered many Knicks fans.
Yeah, you? I mean the last time the Knicks were good, I mean, I guess they were good in the 90s, but I mean, what, they went early 70s, like 72, 73 was the last time they won an NBA title. So I have not met many Knicks fans. I don't feel bad for Knicks fans because they're so annoying. The ones that I hear.
Are they among the most annoying fan bases in sports?
It's always their year. Everybody always doubts them. Again, they haven't won an NBA title in 50 years. This is their first time they've had, I think, back-to-back 50-plus win seasons since the 90s. So they really haven't been consistently good in, give or take, 30 years. So, you know what?
So you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you beat the Celtics, you fire your coach.
I agree with this.
You agree with this one? Because he's a defensive-minded coach and you got to score points or what?
No, he just, the way his teams play, it is a 7-man rotation until he gets to the playoffs. And he's like, Hey, listen, we're going to switch it up. We're going to run a 10-man rotation now. And the problem with that is no one knows how to play under a 10-man rotation. Now, if you had the same core of guys around for 3-4 years, like maybe you did back in the 70s and 80s, it's a little bit different because, you know, you've done that type of thing, but there's so much, you know, transactional pieces, especially at the back end of the bench coming in, that these players haven't, you know, been able to manage it for years under Thibs. But
when you have a strong season and then you fire and you haven't been that great for a long, long time and you fire a coach, aren't you running the risk of everything falling apart? Look, this is not just about the Knicks.
I think it was going to fall apart. I think this was their year to squeak by because you got to go past the Celtics who Jason Tatum was hurt. Yeah. Then you played a Pacers team, which the Pacers are extremely talented. I don't think enough people give them enough credit, and Carlisle is an incredible coach, but that is still a gettable team in which you can, if you get over that hump, I mean, I don't think the Pacers are going to beat the Thunder right now because Thunder look like one of the best teams I can remember in a long time, but I mean, this was the year for you at least to make the conference finals. And even though the Eastern Conference Finals was a step up from where you have been in recent years, it felt like it fell short this year because of Jalen Brunson having the year he did. You bring in Karl Anthony Towns. You got Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges. You got tons of these pieces. Basically, the Villanova Wildcats on your...
And so people want Jay Wright to be the next coach. You think Jay Wright steps into that realm?
I wonder who it is going to be. I don't think it's going to be Jay Wright.
It's got to be an offensive-minded.
I think Michael Malone's an interesting option.
Right, the guy who's fired by the Nuggets.
And if they can poach him, I think Dan Hurley could be up for grabs this year again. Because
that's going to cost a lot.
It's going to cost a lot of money, but New York's going to they're going to shell out because these fans want it. They're not afraid to spend the money. They just haven't spent it in the correct ways. So everything they touch turns to disaster, so we'll see if this eventually does work out for the Knicks, but I don't think they're going to get it right next. Even if they go with Hurley, it's the Knicks' way in which it always falls apart.
I wasn't really planning on talking a lot of NBA. I do have a fascinating statistic for you in a second about the NBA, but Dan Hurley won't work. He is a dictator. And the NBA is a player-driven league. You don't Dan Hurley. I'm going to ask here in a second who is the most, what's the most annoying fan base in the country of all sports. So you could ponder that with the wheels turning here in a second. Anybody want to weigh on that? I have a very good answer that I think a lot of people would agree with, and it might offend some people. So blah blah blah, whatever. But Dan Hurley to me is the most annoying coach in America. I hate the guy. I can't stand the guy. The guy is awesome, and yet he is the biggest crybaby.
He's a big deal.
He's such an embarrassment to me, to sportsmanship, to class. Dan Hurley, again, UConn won two back-to-back national championships with a guy, and yet he cries and complains and whines more than any coach around. And I don't believe in that. And he's just unbelievably classless in the so. But anyway, if you put him in the NBA, I just think it's a failure. It doesn't work like that in the NBA,
especially in the media market of New York.
Yeah, correct.
It would be probably a disaster. And I agree with you on the fact that I do think Dan Hurley is an extremely. He's a crybaby, and I like the competitiveness. I like how he lives and breathes basketball and how it's basically live or die with him for how the UConn Huskies do. But, you know, on the court, I don't actually have a problem with that. But, you know, post-game, I believe – I want to say it was the – when they got knocked out, he was complaining to Florida – or I forget what team – someone was walking out. They were, like, you know, passing by in the tunnel. He's basically like, hopefully they don't screw – the refs don't screw –
That's right.
That kind of stuff I don't like
from
Dan Hurley.
He's just a classless person. He's a sore loser. But you know what? That kind of goes in hand with – today, you can be a sore loser today. Again, back in my day, you had to lose with class. Nowadays, I think it's almost become more acceptable to be a sore loser.
Yeah, he acts how he wants to act, and I mean, it does drive people, you know, crazy. And like, I don't like how he's sitting there flopping on the court, like, you know, he's on his hands and knees, like basically in swing motion sometimes. I'm like, what are you exactly doing? You're supposed to be leading men right now. You're supposed to be the coach of the UConn Huskies, one of the most prestigious college basketball programs in the country. If you put him in New York and things don't go right.
That's right. It's going to go bad.
It's going to go bad. Even if they, again, make the Eastern Conference Finals, but they lose in five or six, it's still going to go bad. You need to win an NBA title before you're really, you know, heralded in New York.
Right,
so.
And you can't be a control freak in the NBA.
No.
946-0435. We got a lot of fascinating things we're talking about today. I do want to get to the most annoying fan base in a second. Here's the stat. I came across this today. This was on Facebook, and I was like, there's no way this is true, you know? And I was like, okay, well, then I Googled it, and of course the internet is true, right? But it is true. It's a stat. Okay. Do you know, okay, so in the NBA, in basketball, they have this thing called plus minus. It's how your team fares when you're on the court, all right? For all the minutes that I'm playing, we take the score, pretty simple stuff. We take the score, and if my team scores more points than the other team during the minutes I'm on the court, I'm on the plus side, plus 7, plus 9, plus 16. If you're in a blowout game, sometimes it can be plus 20 or 30 or whatever. If your team is struggling, you know, it's on the other side. Okay. Do you know what LeBron James plus minus was this year, Nathan? LeBron James.
Okay, so I'm going to try to do some quick math in my head. 82 games, 250 plus 3.
LeBron James plus minus is negative 54.
Ooh.
His plus minus was negative. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I read, was like plus 900. LeBron James is minus 54. Can you believe that? That's one of the craziest stats I've ever heard.
That's a very
right. Plus minus can be again. This is not a be all end all stat.
I mean, it's more about the team sometimes.
Sometimes
yourself.
It is, but the Lakers were pretty good. You know, the Lakers were.
There were a lot of games where they got blown out.
Look,
though.
If you're on a if you're on a
I'm not saying that for LeBron.
But
I hate
why
LeBron,
are you getting blown out? Seriously,
true.
If you've got LeBron James, who is still a second, third team All NBA player. Why are you getting blown out by 30 and 40 points sometimes? Shouldn't that guy be able to?
He should
bring everybody together.
He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. He should be able to do that.
I couldn't believe it when I saw this stat. It's insane.
My only guess is the fact that they were a fairly young team. That you know they had AD at the beginning of the year, obviously make the huge trade to bring in Luka in the back half of the year. But I just think you know sometimes with these young players and you know. They get blown out a lot. There was a ton of these games which they were down 20 going in the fourth. You were like, okay, well, it's pretty much over at
this
point.
And that's fine, but so take over. Go score 50.
He's not capable of doing that anymore.
I think he is on occasion. On occasion. He's 40. He's 40. On occasion. So in the games when they need you, become that guy. Become that guy a little more. Anyway, I'm not turning this into a LeBron James, you know, is he the GOAT or not? I just couldn't believe that on a good team, Google the Lakers record here for me real quick. On a good team, and then you add Luka at the end.
50-32. So
you're talking about a team that's 18 games over .500, and one of the handful of best players in the league still, and the second greatest player in my opinion of all time, had a negative plus minus. Now, again, not that this is the most important stat in the world, but it's almost kind of like war in basketball or in baseball. If you're a negative 0.2 war player, that means that you can get any average player in the whole league and they will help your team's chances to win more substantially than you.
So wait, repeat what you had, LeBron's plus minus, minus 54.
Minus 54.
Bronny James is minus 71. I wanted to get that. I thought for a second Bronny was actually going to be higher because he was playing in a lot of blowout games in which the Lakers might have came back
right,
at the end. I was hoping. But
that
would have been it, but it was their last game was minus 23 when he's on the court, so that kind of tanked that all right there. But, yeah, I mean, it's that stat doesn't tell it all.
It does tell you something. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the NBA plus 1,020. Zubek was 773, Nikola Jokic 758, Braun 777, Allen 730, Mikal Bridges 725, Derek White 722, Lugans Dort 690. I'm 25 deep and everybody's plus 583, Pascal Siakam. So I'm just speechless when I saw that. I'm like, there's no way in the world
that seems crazy.
The Lakers were losing more often than not with LeBron on the court.
Like I said, they won a lot of close games and got blown out in some of those games too. So really interesting to see. What do you think Michael Jordan's plus minus in his last season with the Wizards was? Guess.
Yeah, they were bad. So if I had to guess along these lines, I'd probably say something like negative 50.
Not in the negatives.
Not in the negatives.
Plus six. Plus
right,
six.
Right. and that's the thing. So with MJ,
But LeBron's the GOAT.
MJ could just will you. Again, that was just fascinating. All right. You mentioned this when we were talking about the Knicks. What to you? You want to go first? Or
yeah,
want me to go first?
It's the team of my shirt right here. You got the Dallas Cowboys.
The most
Cowboys.
Annoying fan base. Yeah,
Dallas Cowboys.
And
definitely.
Why are you wearing a Cowboys t-shirt then?
Yeah, it's a good graphic t-shirt I got for like $5 on.
Are they the most annoying fan base?
They're up there. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's the Yankees are pretty bad.
I just think the media that covers the Cowboys is the most annoying because we hear about
Cowboys
them all the time.
Cowboys fans are bad.
Are they?
Cowboys fans every year. At least, I surface Twitter a lot. At least on Twitter, it's always, this is the year. Dak's the MVP. Blah, 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 blah. Two games into the season, begin to disappoint. Have you ever seen the graphic where it's like the Cowboys cycle?
No.
Oh, boy, I gotta pull it up real quick. It, like, says, like, great start to the season. Dak's the MVP.
Right.
Lose some primetime game that everybody's watching by, like, 25. Jerry Jones publicly shames the team. Should we fire Mike McCarthy? Win a couple games, squeak into the playoffs.
And that's the side every year, no matter who the players, good.
So who's the most annoying year? Give me some names. I'll see if it, is greater than the Cowboys.
Cowboys is a good answer. A lot of people in the country would agree with you. I'm going to offend people here, and look, I just don't care. When you start claiming that God wants you to win. I got a big problem, and it's Notre Dame. Okay. Notre Dame is to me, Notre Dame is in a discussion all its own because of the religious, because of the God stuff. Okay, everything else is sports related. Everything else can be Jerry Jones as a knucklehead or James Dolan for the Knicks as a knucklehead or whatever. But you have Notre Dame. You have Notre Dame fans out there. Touchdown Jesus. God wants us to win. Jesus wants us to win. I think, and they haven't won anything really. In like 34 years, I think 91 might have been their last national title, give or take, whatever. So to me, Notre Dame is, and not only that, they're better than you. They get to do everything themselves. They're on their own. They don't have to be part of a conference, but yet they get their own TV deal. They don't have to be part of a conference, but yet they deserve special treatment in every way, shape, and form when it comes to college football playoff. Consideration, that kind of stuff. To me, I mean, again, the Cowboys is a good answer, and a lot of people would probably agree with you, But because Notre Dame thinks of itself as separate and better than the rest of college football, to me, I think Notre Dame is the easy answer.
That's a great answer. Other answers that popped in mind for hockey, the Toronto Maple Leafs are horrible. They always think it's their year. They haven't won anything in so long.
Okay.
So Toronto's a pretty delusional fan base when it comes to the NHL. NBA, I mean, you got to put the Knicks. I think it has to be the Knicks. Or whatever team LeBron's on to, you could also put it there because LeBron's always going to win a finals until they just inevitably lose now in the past first round the past couple of years. Yankees are a great option. So those are a couple of delusional fan bases. But I think the Cowboys are far and above everybody else when it comes to football.
Yeah, I think in terms of sports,
Notre Dame is pretty bad.
I have a very specific thing I'm talking about with Notre Dame. The Cowboys don't demand special consideration for the NFL playoffs. The Cowboys don't demand that they be given special thought processes because they're in the NFC East, but they shouldn't be in the. They don't demand that stuff. You don't have the NFC East and the NFC South and the NFC West and then the Cowboys. That's what you have in college football. You have the ACC, you have the Big Ten, you have the SEC, you have the Big 12, you have whatever the hell's left of the pack, whatever, and then you have Notre Dame because they're special and their crap doesn't stink, and God wants them to win. And I think you add up all those factors to me, and the fact they haven't done anything in 35 years, to me, Notre Dame it belongs at the top.
Again, it's hard to deny it because I really do despise Notre Dame because I have nothing against Notre Dame.
I think
their fans. I actually like Marcus Freeman in them. I like the team itself.
Yeah, sure.
But the fans are very delusional.
Even if I wanted to root for Notre Dame from just a sheer football standpoint, because they do have good teams. That was a good team that beat Penn State. That was a good team.
Right. I mean, it's hard not to root for Riley Leonard. He's right. A good kid.
Marcus Freeman, I think, is a good coach. But again, just this the fact that they believe that they deserve to be separate is asinine to me. That's completely insane to me.
You're playing in college football. You're supposed to be playing against.
But
inclusion with everybody.
That's the power they have, the power they've always had. If there's discussions about the college football playoff, it always has to have a Notre Dame clause. It's got to be a Notre Dame clause. Again, there's no Dallas Cowboys or New York Yankees clause. There's no, okay, well, the Yankees finished with a losing record, but they have a clause that they can still get in the playoffs because they're the Yankees. I mean, these Notre Dame clauses are outrageous.
Yeah, the Notre Dame clause, because it would have got real loud if they had two losses last year with the
Northern Illinois, right.
Luckily, it didn't get to that point for Notre Dame fans and honestly for college football, because I think if they put Notre Dame in, it either would have been, you know, SMU who was irritated. If they left Notre Dame out, it would have been all the Notre Dame fans. So I'm glad that didn't come to that point where we had a 10-2 Notre Dame team, because they would have gotten, no doubt in my mind, they would have gotten in.
I am self-aware enough to realize that there are a lot of people in this country that think Penn State has one of the most annoying fan bases in the country, especially given what happened 14 years ago. There are a lot of people that still believe that Penn State fans are delusional and that they overlook 35 years of stuff that was going on there. So if we're going to have this discussion, I'm not going to live in an insulated bubble and not think that the rest of the college football world doesn't still view Penn State to some degree that way.
I think it was like that, especially a couple years ago, probably until maybe last year.
Well, again, you're talking football. You're just talking football. I'm talking about the perception of the way people view other teams. Like the way we view Ohio State, they're annoying. The way we view Michigan, they're annoying.
Yeah. Penn State definitely has a lot. I mean, there's a lot of baggage that Penn State
that the rest of the country. If this show were on in any other city in the country, there would be people thinking Penn State immediately.
Yes.
All right, Jason on the road. What's up, buddy?
I just think about the annoying fan bases. I think you have to start with college because there's just too much buy-in by the fan base, like irrational buy-in, you know, for when there's college, much more than the pro sports. You know, because when you first broached the subject, my first thought was like four different college teams,
right,
college fan base.
Who are they? You know, what are those four, Jason?
It was Notre Dame. My first one was Notre Dame. And then Duke.
Yeah, right.
and then Ohio State and Michigan, and that might just be, you know, the Big Ten bias being where we are. But they all seem to be just very, you know, annoying. But, you know, even pro, like, when I go to a pro, when I go to a football game and I see away team fans, usually by the end of the game, you know, we're, you know, telling each other, hey, it was a good game, good time, you know, glad you were here. And that's not always the case with college sports, that on any college sport, whether it's, you know, football or, you know, girls volleyball. Like, there's just irrational fans when it comes to college sports. Much more so than pro. Not that there's none in pro sports.
Teams feel a connection with the school.
Right,
with the school
alma mater, the team, the school nearby. I think that's definitely true in general. There is great passion for NFL. But Duke is an interesting one. We can discuss what led you to put Duke in that group?
Well, a little bit because I did grow up in Virginia. So there were a lot of just the Duke people that were just – but they also seemed very, like, high and mighty. Like, you know, we're Duke. We're better than those, you know, we're just, like, kind of like the old money type people that are just like, we're better than you. Why? Well, because we've always been better.
Yeah.
Like, they have really no reason – but yeah, it's just Duke always came across as being high, and I didn't even necessarily dislike Duke. I just felt like their fans are just like, oh, you know.
You can say it. They're stuck up elitists is what Duke fans are, and.
Those would be the words I was looking for. That's
and right, and look, they have been successful, and Coach K was tremendously successful. But then when he allowed things like Christian Laettner stepping on the guy's throat for Kentucky, when he allows things like Grayson Allen tripping people but doesn't punish him. So if you're going to kind of promote yourself and your identity as these elitist, stuck-up kind of folks, and yet you don't hold yourself accountable, I think Duke's brand over the last 15 years took a big hit again, because at the end of Krzyzewski's run, he just was not willing to hold his players accountable.
Yeah, that makes a big difference too when it's like you can't practice what you preach. And that's really, you know, what a lot of the outside of this area world thinks about Penn State too, because that's really the perception of, you know, the last few years of Paterno, he was just looking the other way and letting people do whatever.
Yeah, and I didn't bring that up I brought it up to make sure everybody realizes that perception is where you are. Perception is it's easy for us to throw shade at Duke. It's easy for us to throw shade at Notre Dame or the Cowboys or the Yankees. We're not there. Other people, it's very easy for anybody. Look, regardless of what they've done on the field, it's very easy for any sports fan in this country to throw shade at Penn State. It just is. And to think that they don't still do it to some degree would be silly.
Right. And there's a lot of that still happening outside of this area, especially.
Yeah. So. Hey, that's a good segue. Thanks, Jace. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
I got one more thing. I get a kick out of it when Nathan says, like, the Thunder is the best NBA team he can remember in a long time. tell me the best NBA team before, you know, 2014, Nate. You know, like,
best NBA team before 2014? Probably some of the Spurs teams.
Here's a good thing, Jason. I'm glad you. Here's a good thing. This is why I was kind of looking forward to this whole transition here, because Nathan does have some takes that are recency bias takes. But Nathan is also very, very intelligent and has gone back and does appreciate history. So I see it like with some of your recency bias takes, and I'm like, okay, well, that's silly. But then I also know that you do have an appreciation, and Nathan's very, very, very intelligent and knows the history very well. So what I see is a person who, as these ideas merge over the next 15 to 20 years of your life, it'll be fascinating for you to see it play out.
The Thunder are the best team I can remember since 2017, Warriors prime years. Okay. I mean, that's
yeah,
best.
Yeah, the,
best
the Warriors. I think the best teams of all time were the Bulls. Were the Bulls and the Warriors?
I think it's one and two. I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I just for him a long time is literally like.
That's what I mean. For me, a long time is 6-7 years. Yeah, that's a third of my life
that's
right there.
Right, yeah.
So for me, that's a long time. For me, that's a long time.
Good stuff. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, Jason. We got to take a break. We got another good topic after this.
It's spring and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Ready for that summer road trip? Make sure your vehicle is ready. Make a trip to Russell Tire in Altoona or Central PA Truck and Equipment in Claysburg for their summer savings special. Get lube, oil, filter service, inspection of all belts and hoses, tire air pressure set, tire rotation, brake inspection, and battery inspection. All for just $59.99. And to help you stay cool and comfortable on that road trip, take advantage of their air conditioning performance check for only $59.99. Be ready for the road this summer with a trip to Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, or Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
If this is the year you buy equipment from the Kubota family, it's time to meet the McCoy family from McCoy's Lawn and Garden. For over 40 years, McCoy's Lawn and Garden has been a trusted name for homeowners, contractors, and the agricultural community right here in Central PA. Why Kubota? It's simple. Kubota has a track record of durable and dependable equipment, state-of-the-art features, and something for everyone. Kubota offers the model, attachments, and implements you need, regardless of the job. And on top of all of this, you get the support of amazing dealers like McCoy's Lawn and Garden. Whether it's mowing your lawn, tackling summer projects around your property, managing a construction site, or running your farm, McCoy's Lawn and Garden has the full line of Kubota equipment. Kubota tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, and so much more. Follow the orange glow to McCoy's Lawn and Garden and check them out for yourself. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. Visit McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com. McCoy's Lawn and Garden. Kubota. Family. Community.
When it comes to feeding your family, you want only the best, especially bread, only the freshest and best tasting. There's only one choice, Pacifico Bakery. Since 1947, Pacifico Bakery has been a staple in central Pennsylvania, and they continue to be a favorite with the freshest breads, rolls, and more. Be sure to visit Pacifico's outlet store, 1208 5th Avenue, Altoona, open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 4:30, and Saturday, 9 to 2:30, closed Wednesdays and Sundays. Give your family only the best bread from Pacifico Bakery of Altoona.
All right, so I'm not going to push this back any further because I do think this is a good discussion worth having. 946-0435, you want to join us for this or anything else. What is college for in this country? What is a college education? What are universities for in this country? We're going to We're gonna dip our toe a little bit, ever so softly, into the stuff at Harvard. We're not gonna get too political, but we're gonna dive into a little bit what should be taking place on college campuses and what's important in college. We're gonna come at it from a sports standpoint with this element. So it comes out yesterday. The latest public figures for the highest paid employees at Penn State. This is no surprise. There's nothing at all surprising about what I'm going to tell you, but when you hear the figures, they are glaring. They do kind of punch you in the face. The highest paid employee of the Pennsylvania State University is James Franklin, $8.6 million. Everybody would have known that. Football coaches are generally the highest paid employees in the state. I think James Franklin is the highest paid public employee in the whole state of Pennsylvania. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's correct.
All right. The second highest paid employee at the Pennsylvania State University is Mike Rhodes, men's basketball coach, who quite frankly sucks and I think probably should be very much on the hot seat, $4.2 million. But men's basketball, this is why we have a sports show. This is why we talk college athletics and finances so much, because the top two earners at the Pennsylvania State University make 8.6 and 4.2. That's $12.8 million. The university president is fourth at $1.4 million. Neely Bendaputi. Number three is Stephen Massini, CEO of Penn State Health, obviously, because health companies control every damn thing in our country. He's the third highest paid employee at $1.6 million. Number five, Patrick Kraft, AD, $1.3 million. Number six, Mike Yurcich. I'm surprised this figure was this low. I thought this figure was higher. But for the 2023-2024 year, and then he was fired, he made $1.2 million. Number seven, the wrestling coach, Kale Sanderson, makes a little bit more than a million. So five of the top seven highest paid employees of one of the great educational universities in this country are involved in sports. Okay, so we'll kind of jump off from there, 9460435. Is that what college is for? To be known as professional sports entities, to where you're comfortable, not only the fact that you do it, and this is not just Penn State, but you're comfortable, you don't feel bad, there's no awkwardness, that five of your top seven paid employees are in sports.
Is that what college is for? No, it's not what college is for. College is for people to get in my eyes, a piece of paper. But is that what college has become? Yes, that's what college has become. College has become a sports-focused mindset because, I mean, it's not the finding. I mean, five of your top seven employees being sports is not a coincidence. I guarantee if you look across the country,
if you looked at Ohio State and Michigan, it's probably the same thing.
It's probably the same thing.
This is not.
You're gonna see healthcare president, and then you're gonna see sports figures left and right.
But so what is college for then? What is the purpose of going to college? Is it just the pragmatic component? Let's make ourselves a more educated populace, or is it let's go get a piece of paper so we can get a job, or is it because sports, yay sports? What is college supposed to be in this country?
College is supposed to be so you can get a piece of paper and you can further your life, further your education. Again, it still is that primarily for 95% of people, but for universities it's a sports business a lot of times as well, because again, that's what a lot of revenue is. I mean, you think about these TV contracts, a lot of money in there. It's slowly, maybe not so slowly, but it is becoming a sports institution rather than educational for a large portion of universities.
Right. Michigan has the third largest stadium in the whole world. Penn State has the fourth largest stadium in the whole world. Penn State basketball sucks ass. It's awful. It's been awful basically forever outside of a few pockets here and there. And they've got a basketball coach who makes $4.2 million a year. He has significantly underachieved in his 2 years there. So what message do we send people? This is what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to get too deep here, but the notion that sports is everything, what message do we send young people that if you want to get paid a lot, get into the sports world, get into the sports business. And again, we're not even taking into account all of the changes within paying players and everything like that, because if Drew Aller was on this list or Nick Singleton were on this list, I think there's every reason to believe Dr. Neely Bindapudi is third? I lost my list there. I think she was fourth on the list. There's every reason to believe that Drew Aller and Nick Singleton will make more money than her.
They probably do make more money than her. Drew Aller, definitely. I don't know about Singleton. He's probably up there, but
I read a thing that there's some tight end committed to USC. Landon Tingwall, a former Penn State offensive lineman, he tweeted out today, that tight end committed to USC has an $8 to $10 million NIL deal for a tight end.
That's insane. $8 to $10 million
for a tight end. So anyway, I'm coming at this from the perspective of how do we become a better country when the education of our young people is clearly not the most important factor for these universities. This is where I'll make the Harvard statement. Come at this from whatever political perspective you want. I don't care. My God, man. If we're taking down Harvard, what are we doing? I don't care what side you're on. If we refuse to believe that Harvard is good or not for the United States of America, what are we doing? Do we not want educated people at the highest level? And I'll leave it at that. Tim in Altoona. What's up, Tim?
Hi, Corey. Hi, Nate. College, the romantic idea is to get an education, mm-hmm. But all types of students generally go to get that degree and use it to earn a lot of money. You guys often talk about the business of money and sports, and you look at Penn State and just trace the history of the football program, and as it moved from old Beaver Field out to where it's at today, and renovation after renovation, expansion, the correlation with it and the size of the university to attract students, it's just been the recent times with the NIL and the portal and all of this stuff that it's just been real hyper. It's just like if we were going 65 miles an hour before, now we're going 100 miles an hour.
And you make a great point, Tim, about this is how universities stay in business. I talked about this a lot with St. Francis when 40% of their students are athletes. That's how you stay in business. But what about men's basketball? See, everything you're talking about, that it does make sense for football. There's no argument to be made that Penn State shouldn't spend every penny on football. In fact, I've made the argument that they should cut women's basketball, cut 15 other sports, and just go all in and have the highest paid football. If that's what you want to be, don't fart around about it and waste money on things that can't get you to that goal. So what I was going to say was men's basketball doesn't attract students to Penn State University. None. You can't convince me that men's basketball amounts to anything. And so you're paying a coach $4.2 million? So how do we add that? How do we make that make sense?
I agree with you 100% there, Corey. The only thing that I can think of is Dr. Pat Kraft wants to be competitive in anything. And if you're going to play the sport, you should try to improve. And really, I'm just flabbergasted that Penn State hasn't been able to figure this out for so long or forever. you know, because they have the resources, you know, and a couple players in basketball can really change the trajectory of a program, at least for a couple of years anyhow.
And they've done that occasionally with the guys like Lamar Stevens or so on. Yeah, they've done it in very small pockets, Taylor Battle, Joe Crispin.
But then it's back down.
Yes. You know? Once those guys leave, they're not able to replace those guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Anyhow, great topic, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Tim. 946-0435. Clarkster, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, you know, on the LeBron number, you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Sure.
They weren't calling basketball when he was running the court. The LeBron steps and everything. So you got to, his minus number is probably a lot more. But anyway,
okay.
Moving on to further action. What's happening is sports are now being totally separated from the university. It's been moving that direction for any number of years. They're in the entertainment business. They're not in the degree, you know, is secondary. They're also building their own network that will take them the rest of their life. You're building a network when you go to college, but in actually doing what would be described as real work, they're moving towards a 10 or 15 year career that's going to carry them. But they're in the entertainment business,
right? So that's that. You're spot on. So that's the conversation I want to have. Should they be in the entertainment business, or should they be in the education business?
Well, that goes back to when we started to have cable and when we have ESPN. You have all these stations now that have to fill programming. And now they've even morphed into their own network. That's even telling you more it's about entertainment, you know, what the colleges are doing. And their total separation. It's like happenstance if you bump into a football player. Because they're traveling in a completely different, you know, stratosphere than the average student is. Now, you have other issues with colleges. You have them taking foreign students when it comes to tuition and out-of-state students as opposed to being more concentrated in your own state. There's so many issues. Now, as far as getting a college degree, well, it says you went one step more beyond high school and took on some other disciplines that you had to do.
And that used to pretty much guarantee you a job, but the job market right now for college graduates is the worst it's ever been in this country's history.
Well, you've got to be creative.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't think I'm going to be the next greatest journalist or writer or whatever. You got to start. I mean, that there was a movie, who was in it. He got laid off from a real high-paying job, and they decided to take the trip across country, and they had some problems. They lost their money. The wife went gambling, and he went to an employment agency in the middle of Arizona or New Mexico, and he says, well, I want you to open the drawer for those $100,000-a-year jobs.
Yeah.
You don't start there. You've got to work your way up, even if you have a college degree. That's where it was.
Newsflash, college graduates now, they want to start there, right, Nathan? They expect that $100,000 job.
They expect it right out of the gate.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Clarkster. We're going to take one more here. Nebraska man, what's going on? Does it bother you at all that we have this much emphasis on sports and we don't think of colleges in terms of great educational facilities any longer?
Well, Corey, it's come down to the point now where it can't be educational no more. Because the entertainment has taken over the educational for one simple reason, the money. Education is not making Penn State University money. The athletes are making Penn State University money. And another thing about the athletes, it gives them a chance. They don't have to. If an athlete has a half-decent shot at any sport, it's going to give them the opportunity to say, well, listen, I'm going to go work 1 to 2 years in college. That'll be my shot to get my foot in the door. So if I don't make it to the pros, I'm going to get paid portal or I'm going to get paid whatever. If I leave as a freshman or a sophomore, I'm going to be making $2-3 million that I'll be set for life anyway. So even if I don't get to the pros, the education no more has nothing to do with universities. It's all about the almighty dollar. It's all about the buck. And let's face it, too, Corey. These athletes are going to innate. These athletes are going to school. They're not even going to class. They don't have to sit down like an educational person to take this course, that course.
What we're going to get into next. I got to take a break, but that's what we're going to get into next. Is should they even have to go to class anymore? Are we to the point where these are employees and they shouldn't even the facade of going to class and getting an education should just be wiped away?
No, I think you should. If you're getting paid to sit around and do nothing but just play sports, to me that's not a college. That's not an education. You should go to class like everybody else. Sports is a privilege. You're getting paid for it. You're not getting paid to sit around all day long, not do nothing, to make millions of dollars, and expect to get a piece of paper, and expect to get tutored, because getting tutored means you're never going to flunk. You name me one university or one teacher that will flunk an all-star, whether it's basketball, football, wrestling, or whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I heard of an instance like that. We got to take a break. I want to get Nathan's thoughts on this because he's actually going through college and he's a college sports fan. So you're the living embodiment of whether or not this is an issue here. We'll take a break and get into that in a moment.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Nashville Super Speedway. Total domination was Justin Allgaier. He led 101 laps on the day and he had the fastest lap at 30.79 seconds.
Connor and I had to laugh. He come down to the victory lane after the race is over, and he's like, "Man, I didn't realize how important it was until you got in front of me." He said, "I thought my balance was really good, and then I realized really quickly whenever I was behind you how much we should have adjusted." And you know, just team did a great job all night of keeping me in the game, keeping the car in the game. And every time we run this helmet scheme, we seem to. If we don't win, we seem to come, you know, really close to the front and put ourselves in an opportunity to go to victory lane. So really, really cool, really, really special. But to have, you know, really all five of our Junior Motorsports Chevrolets be fast this week throughout the course of the weekend is really special. And I think that shows just how strong our organization is and how much effort they're putting into these races week in and week out.
Let's see here. Connor Zilish was second, followed by Sam Mayer, Sheldon Creed, and Ross Chastain. Getting a little extra seat time rounds out the top five. Your quick point standings look like this. Justin Allgaier leads Austin Hill by a massive 92 points, each of those drivers with three wins on the season. Up next to the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Mexico City, Saturday, June 14th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on CW. You are on the final lap.
Here's comedians and Skechers getting comfortable, presented by hands-free Skechers slip-ins.
Hey, I'm Bobby Slayton, and I'm here with my pal, comedian, and Skechers ambassador, Mr. Howie Mandel.
Why did it take so long to invent something as amazing as slip-ins? I know it seems simple, but it took Skechers to invent a better pair of shoes.
Yep, with Skechers slip-ins, you just step it and go. You don't have to touch your shoes. And by the way, slip-ins are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. In all your favorite Skechers styles, find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. Skill Bridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.
It's spring, and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits?
How about cigars for you and your buddies?
Oops.
It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, we got a few minutes left. I want to get Nathan's thoughts on all this because, again, we talk, like the caller mentioned earlier, you view the world in the way things are now. You view the world in, you know, in your lifetime, you know, recently. This is just how everything has been for you, okay?
Yeah.
They spent all this money on sports your whole life. And I come back from the old guy perspective, say it didn't used to be this way. It didn't used to be where all of our eggs were in this one basket. So when I tell you, do you have any issue at all with the fact that Penn State, and again, there are other universities like this too. I'm sure Alabama is with their football and basketball coaches and ADs and all. Do you have any issue at all that five of the top seven highest paid employees for one of the great universities in our country are in sports?
No, I don't have any issue with it because that's who's bringing in a large chunk of the money. So,
are they? I mean, is that what brings in the federal grants and they have a $5 billion endowment? Is it because of sports?
Not because of sports.
The stadium is because of sports and the attention is because of sports. But Penn State University has been a great university for 100 something years before sports were a big deal.
But how many professors you got to pay out, all that kind of stuff. I mean,
that doesn't come from the athletic budget. They don't need any of that stuff.
But what I'm saying is there's more, what's the expression? Mouths to feed that you got to in the academic realm than the sports realm. Maybe there's only, and there's tons of coaches and stuff like that, but your head coaches and really important athletic people.
I clearly know the answer to this. This is a sports show. Would you rather be Harvard or Yale? Or Princeton, the best universities in this world? Or would you rather be Penn State? You're really good. I think Penn State probably ranks in the 70 to 90 range or so in the country or whatever. Maybe a little higher in some things. You're really good, but you're known for all this sports. Would you rather be Harvard or would you rather be Penn State because of football? Again, this is a sports show, so you can be honest.
It depends who you're talking to. For me, you'd rather be Penn State.
Are you changing the world with Penn State football? Are you changing the world by getting to the Final Four? Or because Harvard, again, this goes back to dipping the toe in the political side. Harvard has people curing illnesses and curing diseases and creating surgeons that save lives. But nobody, they don't have great sports. Yeah. Well, they actually do have good sports programs, but just on a different
level. Lacrosse and all that kind of stuff.
Men's basketball is good, but it's a different level. Clearly the answer is people would rather be Penn State. They would rather have the sports notoriety.
Yeah, unless you're Notre Dame, you aren't changing the world by winning football games. So, I knew that was going to get fun.
I love it. God wants them to win,
God,
man.
God does all of it. He's that's the only university that sports. I mean, it's very comparable to Harvard. You know, solving all these diseases and stuff like that. So,
oh, I gotta take a break. That's too damn good.
To J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whoa, boss.
How did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simply human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. Hims.com/joy.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central with Nathan Ferlina and Corey Geiger. I want to thank our presenting sponsors, as always, J.M. Boswell, Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA, also location in Chambersburg if you're down there. So stop on by there. Always open a line, J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. Remember, there's nothing like what, Corey?
A J.M. Boswell Pipe and Cigar. And I'm thinking we might have a giveaway. I got to get this approved. But thanks to Jason on the road who called
Shout
a little earlier.
Jason.
Was awesome. We might have a little bit of a J.M. Boswell surprise to some listeners here in a couple of days.
Make sure you're hanging tight. You're not going to
We're not going to change the world with our college discussion. And people now, it's just the way it is that colleges spend all this money on sports. I do think it's at least talking about it every now and then. Sometimes should you talk? Should you have a conversation before you just dive head deep into a pool? I mean, should you at least have a conversation? How deep is the pool? You see what I'm getting?
Probably.
We've already dove into this pool, hoping that it's deep enough that we'll be okay. But shouldn't we at least have some conversations about it every now and then?
Yeah, should have some conversations, because it's good to have the conversations whenever it's interesting, you know, discussions.
That's what we're here for.
As always.
Talk to you tomorrow.
WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WK.